So if you have your Bible and you'd like to open up, we're going to start with the passage in Luke, and then we will go to the passage in Matthew, Luke chapter 2, and I want to just go ahead and pray this morning, and then we will begin with the message, and we'll be going to these passages of Scripture during the message. Lord, open your word up to us this morning, we pray. Teach us your truth. Help us to hear what you have to say to us. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to have open hearts. I realize that the stories that we will be talking about this morning are stories we've heard for a long, long time. But I pray that you'll just give us just one thing that's new this morning that we can carry with us. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for being the God who loves us and the God who sent the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And we remember that. But that sacrifice had to come at a price, and it was Jesus. And I pray that as I bring the message that we will focus only on him, and we will see Jesus and Jesus only, for it's in his name I pray. Amen. Life is full of surprises, as you well know. And let's put it this way, Christmas is full of surprises. Now, I want to share a little bit about you, about the Grandy household when I was growing up. Our household was, our Christmas was one of surprises. My father was laid off 3 or 4 years that I can remember from the railroad. And my mother worked in a little mom-and-pop grocery store to try and help make ends meet. But every Christmas, it was a surprise. I didn't understand then what I understand now as to how they pulled this off. But our tradition was nothing was put out at all, period. We had lights on the windows, and that was it. We would go to bed on Christmas Eve after, you know, staying up a little bit later and then finally being told, okay, time to go, and we had no clue why. We just figured, well, we were supposed to go to bed. But the next morning, we woke up, and everything was on. Every light was on, the tree was up, lights were on the tree, the train, which was my dad's pride and joy, was running, and there were gifts. I look at this now and I think, how in the world did mom and dad get all this done in one night, in a short night? And then I realized there's a word for that. It's called coffee. Even though I don't drink it, I know that some people swear by it and say, I couldn't make it without my coffee. Ryan, where are you? Oh, but our Christmas was amazing, especially when I realized how little money we had and how mom, and especially my mom, pulled off Christmas. It was full of surprises. People would never have thought back in the day of the birth of Jesus that this was going to be a surprise. They would never have known. And every production of a play, there are what we call the supporting cast. That was last week. Then there are the unknowns. There are the people who maybe make cameos. You know, they come on and then they disappear and you maybe never see them again. Then there are the co-stars, which we'll talk about next week, and then the stars. And so what we're going to talk about today are those who are what we will call the unknowns. We'll call them the people who make the cameos, who show up for just a brief moment and then disappear and you never hear about them again or never read about them again except at Christmas time when we bring the story back up. So let's first of all talk about simple men and a big surprise. Now, you will need to go to Luke chapter 2 for that, and that's where we will be spending our time with this morning. But if you've ever, many of you remember, and I know now that print is going out, but used to go through grocery store lines and department store lines, and you would see magazines there, like with an end-of-the-year perspective. You know, the top 10 events of this year, or when I was growing up, they used to have the top 100 songs of, well, I won't tell you what year, top 100 songs, and then they would finally come out the top 10 songs because those were the most popular songs of all. I don't think you could actually say that we could do this about the birth of Jesus. I think if you were to take a survey of people back over 2,000 years ago and say, what's a significant event of this past year? I doubt very seriously there would be people say, oh yeah, the number one event was the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And that's because, for the most part, it wasn't known. For the most part, things unfolded that night. The drama unfolded, and very few knew very little about it. The important thing to understand is that what happened that night wouldn't just change Israel. It wouldn't just change Rome. It would change the whole world. In fact, you can look at it by saying it split time in half, because you have B.C. and A.D. So what happened that day or that night split the history and changed the world. Now, many of you are old enough to remember Christmas plays. You know, when you have the little kids get up, and especially on a Sunday night, they get up and they do a performance, and kids dress up, you know, in bathrobes. They're shepherds, you know. And so we go back to think about that, and we have to ask the question, who are they? Who are the shepherds? Why are they so important to this story? What are they doing here? Well, let's look. Historically, let me give you a little bit of historical background. Octavian is the governor. Now, he is the great nephew of Caesar, and he is given the name Augustus because Rome wanted to put on top of him a kind of a godlike status. So in verse 1, it says, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. This was Caesar's great nephew making this. And I guarantee you that he had no clue what he was setting in order. You see, to them, to most people, Caesar was a god. To them, you lived forever to be a Roman. And for if you were an Israelite, if you were a Jew, your dream of the Messiah king was all but dead. You saw no hope. But Luke tells us that Caesar Augustus sent out decreed that there would be a census. Little did he know that when he did that census, that Joseph and Mary would have to go back to Bethlehem, and he would be setting in motion this whole prophecy thing. That he would be setting in motion all these prophecies, all these events that were going to culminate in prophecy being fulfilled that the Messiah was going to be born. Now, keep in mind, there was no celebration. There was no invitation to a party. There was no gender reveal party here. There were no cigars given out that had little pink or blue little slivers on it to tell you. And so the key to this whole thing, and this is what Rome missed, is this. Christmas is a powerful reminder that what is important in heaven is often unimportant in earth or on earth. What is important in heaven is often seen as unimportant on earth. But God moved things. He chose and he moved people. Now, God chose these shepherds who were considered part of, were not considered part of polite society. Let's put it that way. I like what David Jeremiah said in one of his books. He said, sheep herding was one of those occupations that everyone needed but no one wanted. Because you see, the Jews require cleanliness. How do you watch animals? How do you watch sheep and stay clean? You can't. And so they were constantly being put away, and that's why they actually were out on the hillside, why they were outside of town, because they were unclean. But they also had an integrity problem. Sometimes they lacked courage, and they would just simply get scared and leave the sheep. But there was another problem with shepherds, and that is that they had a problem with what is mine and what is yours is mine. In other words, they were known for their dishonesty. So we have a dirty, treacherous, tiring, job-like people, not known for their integrity. And they were the ones who were visited on that night. That strikes me, folks, that it wasn't in the palace, as you've heard this before. It was not in the palace that he appeared. It was on the hillside to people like me and you. People who maybe have been pushed away, who have been pushed out. But we can learn some things from the shepherds, and we're going to look at these. First of all, we can learn that they heard well. Passage that we want to look at is verse 15. After the angels have appeared to them and the angels had sung, the angels went away from them in the heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Sometimes it's easy to shut our ear to the music. Sometimes we hear something so often that we don't hear it. In this case, the shepherds saw something that they had never seen before, and it would have been easy for them to say, "I'm not going anywhere." But they heard well. And what I like is they heard and immediately acted. We're going to see that in a moment. But they saw, they heard, they believed, and they acted. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes how? By believing, and believing by the Word of God. And so they heard well. The second thing we know about them is they listened well. Verse 10, it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to them, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all people." Now, you can go back to verse 9 and you could see that they were filled with fear. But one of the things that I like is they didn't run. They didn't cower. They didn't hide. They listened. They were initially afraid. We can't get away from verse 10 or verse 9, which says they were filled with great fear. But what I like about this is that they listened to the words of the angels, or the word of the angel, and then to the heavenly host. And it changed their whole perspective. Sometimes, folks, the voices around us need to be shut out. And we need to listen, and listen well to what God has to say to us. And the third thing we can learn from them is they worshiped well. Now, if you have your Bible or the scriptures, go on. You can see that the heavenly host said that there was a heavenly host praising God, saying glory to God in the highest. The angel said, when they left, the shepherd said, "Let's go to Bethlehem, see what's going on." And verse 15, or verse 16, "And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child." Well, what was that saying? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you that you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in the manger." So basically what they are telling Mary and Joseph is exactly what the angel told them, that Christ is going to be born. And they are letting them know, "We heard well, we listened well, and now we want to worship." "And when they saw it, they made known the saying, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned," what's it saying they were doing? "Glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen." They were worshiping. Let me ask you this. Can you imagine the story they had to tell? You know what? We have a story even grander than that. Because their story stopped at the cradle. Our story begins at the cross. And we have a tremendous story to tell people. For God so loved the world. that he gave his one and only son. And that should lead us to worship. But we have to look at the other unknowns in this story. So let's talk about the wise men and a small surprise. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2, I'm sorry. If you were raised in a church like I was, it was not unusual for you to hear the song at Christmas time that said, "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, filled in fountain, moor, and mountain, traveling or following yonder star." Now, I want to kind of tear this apart because if you are young, those are strange words. For example, what does it mean to traverse? It's a car. What does it mean, moor and mountain? Well, I understand the mountain, but what's a moor? And here's another one. I'm from Pittsburgh. We didn't say the word yonder. So you look at that and you go, those are strange words. And you have to ask yourself, well, who are these guys then? You know, we write strange words. We hear strange things about them. Who are these three wise men? Well, let's look at what we do know and some of what is traditional. And I'm not going to be one of those who is going to poo-poo tradition and say, I'll just forget about all the tradition. But there are three things that we need to know. First of all, the word or the name wise man comes from a Greek word called magos, which is magi. Okay? It typically means, get this definition, those who have wisdom through investigation, interpretation of the movements of heavenly bodies. That's a fancy way of saying they were star studiers and they were astronomers. Now, notice I said astronomers, not astrologers. A lot of people want to say they're astrologers. I don't believe they were. They studied the stars. They were astronomers. The second thing we know about them is that... they were from the east. Thank you. They were from the east. Now, that's about it. We have no clue. East New York? East Spencer? We just know they were from the east. And I'm going to kind of go a little bit more on that in a minute. But they had come from the country. They came. They left gifts and they disappeared. We never hear another word about them. But here's the third one. It's very doubtful there were just three of them. This is probably the only tradition breaker I'll do. If they were kings, I guarantee you they didn't travel just the three of them. They would have had a whole entourage with them because of bandits and everything else. But there were probably definitely more than three. Now, here's tradition. Some believe that they came as far east as from Asia or India. Others will say, more modern scholarship says, they probably came from the Medes and the Persians, which would have been Iran, Iraq area. Others say, well, they were descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, who are Noah's three sons, and I don't know where they got that one from. And then there are some who have actually, you're going to find this incredible, given them names, saved their skulls, and they now have them in a casket in Cologne, Germany. But let's do this. Let's forget about all the speculation, okay? Let's look at what we do know about these men. Number one, they had an earnest desire to find the King of the Jews. Say what you will about them, but this is I believe that they read the Hebrew Scriptures, that they had heard or read somewhere along the line about a coming king. And you're going to see a possible scripture in a moment. They could have ignored that star. They could have said, oh, yeah, there's another star up there. Good. But something set them on fire. Something set them with a desire to know who this star belonged to. And that goes to our next thought. The prophecy of a star is found in Numbers 24, 16 and 17. So somewhere along the line, not only did they read the Old Testament scripture or the Hebrew scriptures, but you have to look at it this way. If God could take a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day to lead his people out of Egypt into the promised land, could he not use a star to lead three or four or how many seekers to look for the king? I believe he could have. Numbers 24 does talk about a star. The third thing that we know is their desire to follow the star led them to a place they never thought possible. Herod's court. I guarantee you, if they could have, they would have avoided Herod's court, but they didn't know where else to go. So they went to Herod's court. Herod was a vile, wicked man. He was so paranoid, so jealous, he had his two sons and his wife killed because he thought they were going to take over his throne. So they come into the courtroom and or the court of Herod, and they say, and you can see this in Matthew 2, that said, well, we've seen this star. We've come to see the king of the Jews. We saw the star, and we came to worship him. And Herod the king heard this. He was troubled, no kidding, and all Jerusalem with him. And the reason they were troubled is because they knew if Herod was troubled, they were in trouble. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where this Christ was to be born. And they told him in Bethlehem of Judea. And they gave the scripture. And then Herod summoned the wise men and said, okay, now I want you to go. Here's what we've ascertained. You go there, find him, and then come back and tell me so I can go worship him too. Yeah, right. And so they followed the star. And that's number four. What they found left them filled with worship and joy. Now, I do not want to even talk about whether it was a stable or a house. That is a moot point to me. I don't care if it was outside, you know, in a makeshift barn. The moot point is just that. They found who they were seeking. That's the important thing. They found the King of Kings. Now, we are told that they left three gifts. It could have been more, but we are told they left three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold was a gift fit for a king. Frankincense was a gift fit for a priest. And myrrh was a gift fit for burial. And if you want to break it down, it's easy to see. Jesus was the king. He was our high priest. And ultimately, he would die in our place. To me, only God could have orchestrated that. He made a way for them then to leave without telling Herod. He warned them in a dream, go somewhere else. And they went out another way. And we never hear from them again. What is it we about the shepherds? We never hear from them again. These men and the shepherds are cameo. They made cameo appearances. But they made those appearances because they were part of God's beautiful plan. For people to know, for people to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And these wise men teach us a priceless lesson, folks. And that is this: the greatest desire we could have is to look and to seek Jesus. And they show us that what we seek, we will find. We don't know where they came from. They came from a long way, is what we do know. But they came following the star, and they found what they were looking for. You and I need to have this desire to follow Jesus, to seek him with all our hearts. Herod didn't stop them. The long travel didn't stop them. they sought until they landed. The shepherds out in the field said, let's go find out what we've been told. And they followed their instincts, their leading. They went and found the child. You and I need to seek Jesus. You know the old saying, wise men still seek him? That's still true. It may be a little hackneyed phrase, but it's still true. You and I need to take this time of this year not to allow ourselves to get so wrapped up in everything else that we forget the one thing we're supposed to do. And that's to seek and to find and to worship the King of the Jews. Let's pray. And so, Father, I pray for your will to be done in our lives. I pray that you'll help us to be like the shepherds who were seen as people on the outside, and yet you appeared to them and they heard, they listened, and they worshiped. And then you look at the wise men, men who saw a star from when we don't know, from where we don't know, but they followed that star until they were brought to Bethlehem, where they saw Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us to be like the shepherds and like the wise men. And it's interesting to me that they just simply made cameo appearances and they disappeared and we never hear from them again. And yet, Lord, that's their purpose. It's just like John said, I must increase, or he must increase, but I must decrease. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We follow to find Jesus. We seek Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us to do just that. Help us not to get so wrapped up in everything else that seeking Jesus becomes just a secondary thing. May it be our primary purpose during this time of the year. If there's somebody watching or somebody here who has never come to know Jesus, I pray that they will hunger and thirst for him. They will desire to seek for Jesus. Pray that they'll reach out and look for help. Reach out and say, can you show me Jesus? Thank you, Father, for your love for us. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And before we shut down, I want to let you know that we are going to have a Christmas Eve service here. Heather's going to play for us. It's going to be very simple. It'll be at 6 o'clock, right? 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve. Going to just have a very simple service. We're going to have communion, and then I'll just sit and have a real short devotional time. But I just felt like this past week, or actually last week, it just burned in my heart that there needed to be something very simple, that we just needed to give people hope. And so we're going to do that on Christmas Eve. You're welcome to come. It's very casual, you know, as always. And if you are watching, we invite you to join us as well. So that's on Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock here. So other than that, you have a great week, and thanks for being with us today.